climb in and hold on.
We're driving the conversation.
It's the Joel and Thomas Show, powered by Teton Toyota.
A lot of people have been proclaiming that they do not want to see a Biden-Trump rematch, but it is really starting to look like that is going to be the case. Joining me by phone right now is Fox News Radio's Jared Halperin. Jared, it looks like the road to the White House is shaping up to be an epic showdown between former President Trump and President Biden. What are you hearing regarding this?
Well, that's certainly the expectation of the Biden reelection campaign. They have been pretty clear over the last several days, really after the New Hampshire primary, that in their minds, the Republican Party has fully consolidated around the former president, that the data shows that there's really no path for anybody else to get that Republican nomination. And so that is the race that they have really started to run. And that's been clear if you've watched the president on the campaign trail in the early part of this year, right, trying to talk openly about what he sees as a real threat to democratic institutions by Donald Trump, and trying to present this as an election that's more about just policy disagreements, but an awful lot more at stake. His campaign manager says time after time that they are running as if democracy, the future of democracy, is at stake, because in their view, it is. And so this is a matchup that they've long sort of expected in Biden-Harris world, and they are certainly moving forward as if that will be the eventual outcome here. Now, Nikki Haley remains in the race. She is campaigning hard in her home state of South Carolina. She is going to need a big night in South Carolina, I think, to show any sort of momentum moving forward. But it is clear, at least from the Democrats' perspective, that they view that this is a nomination that is over, and that they are full steam ahead, in their words, to November against the former president.
And it's interesting because we are seeing the Biden campaign sort of try to point out some character flaws in former President Trump. And then you've got former President Trump trying to make a big issue out of Biden's age and his cognitive decline. And the really interesting thing there is, I think that Trump's got to be careful because there is not a huge age gap between him and Biden.
There's not, and that's the case, by the way, Nikki Haley's been making. She argues that both are in cognitive decline, and that's why she says it's time for a new generation of leadership to step up. Listen, obviously, you know, people are going to make their own judgments about the mental acuity of both Trump and Biden. You know, I have seen Biden on the campaign trail. When he is kind of talking about Donald Trump, it's almost as if he's got like this extra gear, and he gets very animated. He does not sort of stay on stage nearly as long as Trump does, but certainly you have seen so on social media and elsewhere these sort of snippets as well of Trump maybe getting confused about who he's talking about. And so, listen, that's going to be part of this dynamic. I think the broader theme that you're going to see from Trump is on immigration at the border. That has been a big issue, both in Iowa and New Hampshire, not states that traditionally spend a lot of time on immigration issues, but it has become such an explosive issue around the country, and really at a bipartisan level. You have governors and mayors from Democratic cities and states who are urging the Biden administration to do more to give them the resources to safely house migrants who are now arriving in their cities. It is certainly an issue that you've seen the president speak more about as he presses Congress on a bipartisan solution. And so I would expect that to be a major theme of Trump moving forward, is trying to talk about that issue at the same time that Biden tries to frame this as an election that's about a lot more than just, as I said, these kind of policy disputes over immigration or the economy.
And there is a lot of of pressure now on Biden following that attack on a U.S. base, three Americans killed. So there's a lot of pressure there to see how he's going to handle that. And of course, Trump is saying, hey, it never would have happened if I were in the Oval Office.
Well, there were attacks on U.S. troops during every administration, including the Trump administration. Now, there can obviously be arguments made about what the posture of the U.S. is in the Middle East and their willingness to sort of extend diplomatic entrees to various countries like Iran. But these are important moments. This certainly increases the risk factor of an expanding war in the Middle East. There have been about 150 attacks on U.S. bases in Iraq and Syria since October 7th. This is the first one, and this one was in Jordan near the Syrian border. This is the first one that has killed U.S. Soldiers, American service members. The president, we are told, has been meeting with members of his national security team in the Situation Room. They includes the Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin and others within the national security structure. We heard from President Biden yesterday, who says there will be a response, and we will see what that looks like and what that entails. Keep in mind, the U.S., in coordination with allies like the U.K., have been targeting these Houthi sites in Yemen to try and repel these Red Sea attacks. That has not had much of an impact in deterring those attacks. What it is doing, we hear from the Pentagon, is limiting the ability, destabilizing the ability of the Houthis to carry out those attacks. But, you know, now that you're talking about the deaths of three American soldiers, there is going to be a lot of calls on the president for a big response here, and we'll see what that looks like and whether or not it increases the risk of a broader escalation here in the Middle East.
And that has been the concern for a while, that what happened in that attack by Hamas might end up leading to broader conflicts in the Middle East. And so a lot to consider for sure. Real quickly, what are you hearing in terms of the economy? How is Biden trying to get around a lot of dissatisfaction about where things stand economically?
Listen, I think there's a lot of frustration with the administration over kind of the perception and the polling over the economy. They do see a lot of improving indicators, and there are certainly a lot of macro indicators that the economy is doing well. Inflation really starting to be on the downslide. You've seen economic growth in this country hit that pace that the Fed has been looking for. Unemployment has remained low. Job growth has remained pretty steady. At the same time, the way that people view the economy and the way people respond, the polling over the economy is often very personal, and it's often a lagging indicator. And so look for the president to continue where he can to make that argument that his policies are having a positive impact in creating jobs and bringing down costs. But you know, the polling certainly shows that the public is so far still pretty dissatisfied with what they're seeing out of this administration.
Well, you're absolutely right. The average American kind of judges where things stand by how much they're shelling out for gas and food.
There's a lot of work that the administration, that the president's going to have to do to make that economic case to voters before November.
No question about that. Fox News Radio's Jared Halperin, thank you so much. Don't forget, if you would like a chance to see Jimmy Failla on March 1st at the Colonial Theater, text me Jimmy to 208-522-5900.